I'm smiling this morning. God is good. And ironically, James is taking us to the title of patience this morning, you know, and I think, gee, do we have any examples, you know, patience? Yes, we do. Anyway, last time we had started chapter 5, kind of winding down in James here. Won't be long, folks, but probably one more message after this and James will be wrapped. But anyway, last time we did look at the beginning of chapter 5 and James was focused on a group of people that were hoarding wealth. They were persecuting those less fortunate, not paying workers fair wages. But the thing we had a key in on was they were pretty content. They were feeling kind of good about themselves because by world standards, they were doing good. They were successful, even though it was on the backs of those that were less fortunate. And so we, as Christians, have to be aware of those type of feelings, you know, or what we consider success. James says, keep thinking about that. Keep thinking about that. You know, the world is giving you one message. It will continue to always give you that message. But we have to be on guard against it. And one of his big points was that, hey, look at the future. You know, as Christians, what do we have to look forward to in the future? Eternity with God. You know, all this stuff, all those things considered success by the world won't mean a thing in the future, in our future, in their future. He said, guard against hoarding. You know, don't acquire things for the purpose of status instead of usefulness. Yeah, we got to look out for that. It's easy to say, but yeah. Why am I acquiring this? Is it for usefulness? You know, it's all about being good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And those world standards we're talking about that, you know, have gratification for those that are successful, we always need to be on guard for. We said resources in credit in today's world has us redefining luxuries as necessities and self-indulgence as rewards. But as good stewards, we must submit ourselves to God. And one of his keys was we need to be living in anticipation of his coming back. Now, Jesus is coming back. And he'll continue today as we continue in this last chapter about that thought. So this next section, James chapter 5, we're going to cover verses 7 through 12. It kind of gets back to us, you know, from those rich people that were exploiting the audience that he was originally writing to. But he's saying we all must monitor what we do, our lifestyles, our behavior, and our speech. And that's what he's kind of led into throughout this message here. And we must look to God for our guidance and encouragement. You know, those lessons in Scripture, as he goes forward here, he says, you need to do this. So patience and sufferings, verse 7. And we'll read through 12 here. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains? You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. So in the midst of all these injustices being done to these Christians, he says, verse 7, he starts by saying, be patient then, brothers. Kind of, like I said, swinging back to that original audience. And he isn't saying it as a suggestion. I think he's saying it as a command. Be patient. Not an option. He says, don't look at the other things you might want to do. Retaliate. Revenge. He says, be patient, which means endure. Kind of put up with. Trust in God through these trials. And the key, you know, and that we've talked about it, but he brings it up here again. You know, not a matter of taking away the trials, but to endure them, to be able to get through trials. You know, think of yourself. Do you, or did you have to be patient this last week? Were there things that came up? Maybe not really big things. You know, maybe just an interaction with somebody. Maybe dealing with a telemarketer on the phone. Me at my job. You know, I know I had to have patience dealing with certain people. Not a big deal, but yes, a big deal. It's the same kind of patience, same kind of enduring. Instead of saying, how can I get around this? How can I avoid having to be patient with this person? But saying yes. You know, there's some positive to come out of this. And on the other hand, too, we can't mix up being patient with being inactive or passive. That isn't what he wants either. You know, and in the case of these people, there was God's work to be done also. And he didn't want people, when they thought of the word patient, just to say, I'm going to put up with, but I'm not going to continue on in my ministry, so to speak. It goes on in chapter 7 and really saying, not forever. This isn't going to go on forever. He continues, you know, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. We don't have to be patient forever, folks. That's the good news. And that was the good news for them. There is a time when things will be right, when there will be God's justice. That's the way we should be living, in anticipation of Jesus' return. That's what he's saying one of the keys is here. You know, how can I be patient? How can you be patient? How can I put up with this? How can I endure this, no matter what it is? You know, would I do things different if I thought Christ was coming back tomorrow? Would I treat people differently if I thought Christ was coming tonight? I would. I know that. We get out of that mindset. Maybe we drift into it once in a while, but for the most part, we don't. He's saying, retract here, folks. Focus in. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:8, but do not forget this one thing. That's Peter. Peter said a lot of stuff in his letters. A lot of important stuff. But he says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But, a big but, But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything will be laid bare. Moving right along, the rest of verse 7, and that example of patience and faith. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains? You know, they needed those two rains in order to get their crops, kind of those two seasons. No one could hurry it up. It needed to go through the process. But on the other hand, the farmer didn't just quit working. He continued doing the things he needed to do, still depending on God to provide the rain that he needed to have this crop come to harvest. And ironically, you know, this example of thousands of years ago, today with all our technology, our science, to a large degree, the farmer is almost as dependent upon God and the rain and other human, or I should say Mother Nature, as always. You need to have the same patience. They needed to focus on the end result of being patient just like we need to. The end result, we already said it, you know, to be with Christ, eternity. God's way is seldom quick, but it is always complete. What better example can I give you folks in Grace Christian Fellowship? This group has been patient. This group has had a focus for a long time. And it certainly appears like God is fulfilling that next step. You know, the whole idea of a mission field in Calumet, you know, we've dreamed about it for so long. He's sending some help, you know. We've had to be patient. There's been a lot of frustration, you know, as far as wanting to grow, wanting to share God's message with the area. But patience in God's timing. Couldn't find a better example than that. Then he goes on in verse 8, talking about the farmer. You too also be patient and stand firm, he tells us. Literally, being patient means to strengthen your heart. And last time we had a message, we talked about guarding against fattening the heart. Now he's talking about strengthening the heart. We have to remember, you know, what keeps us from the standing firm, from the strengthening our heart, from becoming stronger in the Lord. You know, the temptation, the persecution, trial, suffering. You might look at all those as negative. He's saying, look at those as positive. By enduring those things, we strengthen ourselves. And just like he started in the very first chapter, talking about, you know, consider it joy to have trials. That's what he's saying once again here. You know, standing firm will strengthen all of us. Also, what strengthens our hearts is background message here. You know, knowing the Lord is coming. Standing firm on that rock, that solid truth of knowing we're going to be with the Lord. Paul speaks in Ephesians regarding standing firm in Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Another measurement of standing firm as we grow in Christ. Why? Goes on in verse 8. Because the Lord's coming is near. Second mention again. Must be important. James is really hitting the point home. And as Scripture says, no one knows the time or place. But we need to live in that regard. We need to live like we don't know when, but that we know what will happen. And as mentioned earlier, would we live a little different? More than likely. Verse 9, don't grumble against each other, brothers. Be unified. You know, there's enough outside factors out there, you know, that the world tries to nail us with. Don't be sitting there, you know, fighting amongst yourselves. Be unified. We don't need to create problems within. And that's where this patience he's talking about comes in. You know, refrain from grumbling. You know, look for the positives in one another. You know, sometimes we ourselves individually have too high of expectations of others. You know, hopefully we have expectations of ourselves, but sometimes that carries on and we expect everybody to be like us, and that doesn't happen. He's warning us against that. And the results, if you do, as he continues in verse 9, if you don't, if you grumble against each other, or if you start, you know, holding each other in judgment, you will be judged. You know, once again from Matthew 7, verse 1, do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured you. All those things through this letter of James, we've got to be conscious of. You know, the idea of that tongue, the power, the danger of it. A careless attitude. Then he finishes verse 9 there saying, the judge is standing at the door. Third mention, you know, Jesus is coming back. We can't think of him as being too far off. That it's nothing for us to worry about in our daily lives. You know, this is for the future. This is for, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, whatever. That's not how he wants us to think. Think with first and foremost, Jesus is coming back. And we don't want to be caught at that stage grumbling, internally fighting, you know, with our brothers and sisters. That's what he's saying. Yeah, there's a chance that, you know, Christ is coming back tomorrow. Is this what we want to be doing? No, it isn't. John confronts the churches in Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, referencing Jesus. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. We as individuals, as a church, need to be ready to welcome Jesus. Verse 10. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. He knew they were familiar with the prophets. He knew his audience was. Are we familiar with the prophets? You know, Moses, Daniel, David, etc., etc. A lot of good stuff in there to remember what they went through. Did they have these great lives? Real cushy lives? No. They had to persevere a lot of trials and sufferings. Look to them for courage. Look for them for perseverance. Once again, God didn't prevent these great men from suffering, but he certainly helped them endure through it. You know, and those examples are for us. Verse 11, as you know, he says, he assumed his audience knew, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Once again, no great easy lives. In this last part of verse 11, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Did Job grumble? A little bit. Did he question God? A little bit, for sure. Did he give up his trust of God? No, not at all. He continued. He questioned. He grumbled. But he continued on. He persevered. He endured. he continued to trust the Lord. And he says, finally brought about the Lord's full compassion. Once again, not that instant, not that quick, not that easy fix. Not that immediate that we so look for in this day and age. What do you think God's path is for you? Do you think it's quick, easy? Do you think it might involve some endurance, some perseverance? Probably as He grows us, there's probably no doubt that we will have those times. And he closed, or the last verse in that section, verse 12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Takes a little curve there from his perseverance, but it's referring to making an oath. Can't make arrogant verbal guarantees, which was what was happening at the time. They would come up with these oaths to, you know, swear that I will do this or that, whatever. But he's saying, really, that we shouldn't need oaths in order to be truthful. As Christians, our yes should be yes. Our no should be no. And it always should be. We shouldn't need an extra oath or something to swear by. As Christians, we should always speak the truth. And we need the need to be trustworthy. Patience, perseverance, grumbling, judging, truthfulness, all food for thought. You know, how am I doing? That's the food for thought. You know, we got to ask ourselves. Next week, we're going to close out with the last section in James called A Prayer of Faith. That's what he's asking for. You know, that whole idea of having that faith, having that trust to get through those harder times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard to believe that you want to grow us. You want us to be stronger Christians by having you allow certain things in our lives that call for impatience, call for perseverance, things we need to endure. We know you've promised to get us through these. We know you've promised to give us the strength, yet sometimes we just want the quick answer. We just want you to have us to be able to sideswipe things, to be able to work around things without actually going through them. And Lord, we come before you once again and say, give us the patience we need. We know you have our best interests in heart. And Lord, this morning we just come to you and thanksgiving for how you're moving through this congregation. We continue to be your servants. Continue to show us the path. In Christ's name, amen.